everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with the Kimball family. Please watch over them. Please guide our meeting this evening. Please be with our military. Please be with our city employees. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Alfredaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Mayor Pierce?
Here. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge did indicate she would not be here this evening. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have Mr. Michael Martin regarding the DART program. Mr. Martin, the floor is yours.
Mayor, Council.
You know, the Code Compliance Officer, Ms. Thompson, brought up this DART program about roughly 6 months ago. Apparently, we haven't gotten back with her. Nobody's gotten back with her about it. We got a real situation on our hands. We have all the community here. I might not think it's dangerous, but I think it's dangerous. My wife won't even go outside and check the mail if I'm not there, because she don't know what she's going to encounter. The neighbors we got across the street. There's always different people there. None of them are law-abiding citizens. They all, you know, they trash the place. They litter the streets. And we ended up picking it up. The start program is supposed to get rid of those kind of people in Kirby. And I don't understand why we can't get no feedback from y'all on this situation or where we got to go next to get rid of them. They cost us money, y'all, city money, taxpayers' money, every time the cops have to come there. They're going to come there probably 3 or 4 times a day. I don't think they drive by that much, you know. We have a real issue there, and somebody's not taking it serious. I don't know what we got to do. How can we get no feedback from y'all? We've addressed y'all's situations, I know, about 7 or 8 times now, and not once have I got feedback. You ask us for our address. You ask us for our name. What's the problem? I know you're not going to give me an answer now, but hopefully one of these days you will. And, you know, they have vehicles there that they don't have tags. They've been expired for almost a year now. They're running up down the streets. You're talking about last month about how much money the city's made from tickets. Why can't you give them tickets? They probably got warrants. You probably go to jail too. You know, and we're just tired of it. We want you to know that we're not giving up. If we got to be here every city council meeting to complain, put it in the books. That's what we're going to do. Thank you. That's all I got.
And you're welcome anytime, sir. Mr. Pittman, regarding, I believe it says crime. Is that correct? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. Appreciate all your hard work and efforts for us. I know that you do work diligently to try to get a lot of this done, and I know it's complicated. He pretty much said everything that's going on there, but it's been going on for years. Some of the things I wanted to bring up was how do we get more participation and more contact between a regular citizen and you guys to get this feedback, to be able to pass on information to our neighbors and this and that. Our website is basic. I think it needs to be improved. We need a police blog, either posted on the City of Kirby website or on social media. I'd like to see what's going on as far as crime goes, weekly or monthly. Little publication. They've already made out the reports. They're there, and they can be put out. I mean, we get them sporadically through the Facebook, but we don't get them constantly. And my other neighbor, the brush pickups, which I know we're doing it next month, and now it ain't working, it's easier to, like, participate. But it's hard for people who are still working. I don't know why we can't have a roll-off station for 2 or 3 months during the summer and the cleanup. And look at all the leaves and this. And what do you do with them? They tell us don't blow them out in the street. We sweep them up. What are we going to do with them? Once you fill up your trash can, you're done. We don't have any place to go dump them, you know, like the city does, without paying a fee. And the same thing with the street sweeping. I just don't see it being done very often. I don't know what the schedule is or when they're supposed to come around, because I don't park on the street, but it'd be nice if somebody knew. Maybe they could move their car off the street and they could get a full sweep instead of this in and out thing. The other thing is the feedback. We just don't seem to get that from this type of agenda. And I understand the agenda. I don't know all this parliamentary procedure. But can't we have some kind of town hall meetings occasionally, 3-4 times a year, once a quarter, where we can come up here and ask specific questions and get specific answers, or promise to get a specific answer, instead of just, you know, up here just complaining, it sounds like. But we're not really complaining. We all love it here. And like I say, we appreciate the work you do. Or is there such thing that can be made like a citizens' council that interacts directly with the council? Everything, you know, we read the agenda, we read the minutes, it's all after the fact. We don't get any say or input on some things that we'd like. Of course, I don't want input on all of this. But, you know, how much is that sign going to cost that we're talking about again? They talked about it last year. It was $10,000. I thought it was ridiculous. But little things like that, I think you need a little more citizen participation and a way for us to communicate besides just emailing or bothering you guys on the phone, because we know you're busy. But those are just a few thoughts I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Joy Satoff, Petrie, Abandoned Homes, and Drugs. I believe that's all that's on there.
Hello. I'm here to talk to y'all again. I was here 2 weeks ago, and nothing's happened since. And I brought a show and tell this time. This is the tree that I'm talking about that is leaning way over the sidewalk and the street. It's haunting to see little kids get off of the bus and walk this sidewalk home. Little girl next door is riding her little tricycle out here. This is not where my kids grew up. Debbie, you know what I'm talking about. Our kids had a good, safe place to grow up here. This doesn't take much. The weeds are halfway up the tree, and the tree goes all the way down. Half of it broke off years ago, and this part is just leaning because it's hollow at the bottom. I don't know what's taking so long to come out and take care of this. You know, we're looking for a big expense for Kirby if there's an accident out there. I back my car out, my husband, and we have to go under that tree when we go out. This is not anything that any of y'all would live with, I know. We come over here and we talk about things like this because we want to help you get our community back to where it used to be. That's all we want, is your help to get this done. Please, take a look at it. Get somebody to help us. Don't wait for an accident. Just like these, what Mr. Martin is talking about, the house with the drugs there. Right now, when I'm leaving, there's a bunch of cars out there, and there's a policeman parked on Starfire watching it, I guess. But nothing ever gets done. We can sit on our front lawns and watch it, but we need somebody to get these things done. We don't want these abandoned houses turning into drug houses like that one. There's another one on Petrie that had plywood all over the windows and everything. The homeowner is gone a long time ago, and it's just had plywood on the windows. We don't want anybody coming put plywood on the windows. That's of no use to us. Kids can get into things like that, and they can get into trouble. Let's don't give them that opportunity, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Miss Susan Shop? Shop, okay. Regarding the neighborhood news letter.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Susan Schopp, and I'm with a company called Neighborhood News. And what we do is we publish newsletters for neighborhood associations and small municipalities. We have about 150 neighborhoods and municipalities in San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas. And a couple of the municipalities that we work with in this area are City of Castle Hill, City of Windcrest, City of Bulverde, City of Hollywood Park. We also handle a lot of neighborhoods such as Stone Oak and just tons of neighborhoods I'm sure that you've all heard about. We're a little bit different in the way we do newsletters is that in order to cut the cost for our clients is we publish them through the sale of advertising. So we sell advertising to pay for the publishing costs of the publication, all the publishing and printing, layout, graphic design, all of that. The only thing the city actually pays for is postage. It's a nice service. It's something that residents generally enjoy. It improves communication between the city and residents. We have a lot of experience dealing with different city departments, police department, fire department, whatever it is that's going on in the city. It's a very simple process. Basically, you're given a deadline. You submit articles by a certain time. We lay them all out, lay out the newsletter, send you back a proof. You have about 24 to 48 hours to approve it or not approve it, make your changes. Once it's approved, we send it to print. We take care of all the work, printing, addressing, bundling, taking to the post office, and then it shows up in your mailbox. I'd be happy to come back and do a more of a presentation if you like, but in your packages, I have some samples of newsletters, sample of a contract, a sample of some postage pricing that I talked to Tanya about. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
If we can put that on an agenda,
yes,
so that we can ask those questions. Yeah. But in the meantime, if staff can contact,
yes,
or y'all can meet up before that, prior to that.
Oh, no problem. That's okay. Yeah, and I'll be happy to come back. Definitely been to a number of city council meetings before, so it's no big deal.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And then also, if I'll mention in the comments about the previous comments that will during comments, so that we can get that back on the agenda. Thank you very much for everybody who spoke this evening. Item 7A, update discussion. Oh, excuse me. Item 6A. I will entertain a motion for the regular meeting minutes of March 28th.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the meeting minutes for March 28th.
We have a motion by Councilmember Apodaca, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept the meeting minutes of March 28th. Is there any discussion?
No.
Everybody, please raise, or all in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Is that enough? Yes. Did you get that, Tracy? Item 7A, update discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby's stormwater management program. Mr. Abraham Galindo with Givler Engineering is here.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Abraham. I'm the City Stormwater Compliance Specialist, and today I'm here to give you an update on the City Stormwater Management Program. To help me explain why the City has a Stormwater Management Program, I've broken down the different regulatory levels here, starting with the EPA, who's responsible for creating the environmental laws and standards. And they work with TCEQ, which is the state's environmental agency. TCEQ has issued the general permit TXR 040,000 that requires the City of Kirby to obtain authorization of discharge and requires them to develop and implement a stormwater management program. The plan that we've developed is comprised of five fundamental elements: public education and involvement. The basis behind this element is to educate the public of the hazards associated with stormwater pollution. To fulfill this element, we'll issue newsletters and air PSAs offering tips to residents on ways they can reduce their contribution to stormwater pollution. Illicit discharge detection and elimination. We've mapped out the city's drainage system and divided into separate zones throughout the year. We'll inspect each of these zones twice a year, looking for sources of illicit discharge. Can be any leaking sewer lines or illegally dumped paint. This year we had two reported illicit discharges. Construction site stormwater runoff control. Any site that is over that will disturb over an acre is required to develop a stormwater pollution prevention plan. Before construction can begin, we'll review these plans to ensure the contractors have the adequate and appropriate controls in place. We'll also inspect the these construction sites throughout the different phases of construction to ensure that contractors are maintaining the controls. Post-construction stormwater management. This element goes hand in hand with number three. Although we don't use it a lot, it's still important that we employ certain principles that will really control the type and quality, the quantity of stormwater. Good housekeeping for municipal operations. Each year we'll hold a training for employees whose duties require them or whose duties may impact stormwater. And we offer advice on good housekeeping practices. We'll also monitor certain city activities and city projects. At the end of each permit year, we're required to submit an annual report, basically demonstrating that the plan was implemented and was successful, and we achieved our goals. I'm happy to announce that the city is in compliance. TCEQ renews the general permits every 5 years. The most recent one was issued in January 24, 2019. The city will be required to submit a new notice of intent and develop a new stormwater management program that will meet the new requirements of the general permit. The deadline for this is July 23rd, 2019. That's all I have for you. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them for you.
So if somebody did have a complaint, because you said that y'all had two complaints, is that something when the city, when somebody reports it to the city reaches out for you guys directly and y'all actually investigate that?
Correct, yes. If someone reports it, we'll go out and do an inspection or investigation and offer the city advice on ways that, you know, they can kind of eliminate that that threat, or and work with the city to have the violator remove that or address that violation.
So the ones that, so the complaints that you did have, without divulging if there's any information that you can't, what was that centered around? Like, what were those complaints?
One was regarding a leaking sewer line, and the other one was oil thrown on the road off of Ben Zingelman. Those were the two.
Anybody else have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to deviate from the agenda, so I'm going to move to item 7D. Discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2019-709, appointing a municipal court judge for the city of Kirby. I'll turn it over to our city manager.
Mayor and Council, we appointed 2 years ago Mr. Daryl Dolnick as our municipal court judge, and that appointment will expire at the end of May. And so have in front of you a resolution to renew it for another 2 years. He also included his statement of qualifications, the various cities that he works with. Judge Dolnick is here this evening. If you all have any questions for him, please proceed to answer those.
It stopped.
I'll entertain
a
motion. He learns in walk next week.
Mayor, I make a motion we reappoint Mr. Dahlig.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept Resolution R-2019-709, appointing a municipal court judge for the city of Kirby. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah. What's the reason for 2 years?
So our maximum that we can do is 2 years per city charter.
Yep.
Historically, we've reviewed them every 2 years.
Chief?
One more time, I was answering the text.
It's okay. Is there anything you'd like to add as far as the judge?
Judge? No, I fully support. He's been probably one of the better judges that we've had in our day, or my day.
City staff? Any comments?
Actually, we have a good working relationship with him. A couple of things. He was our prosecutor, you know, prior to being our judge, so he was already familiar with our city. Over the last year, one of the things that he has done for us is actually connect our municipal court clerk with some of the other court administrators and clerks so that that assists her with making some improvements to our processes as well. So they've kind of got a really good system for that. He's fluent in Spanish, so that helps us as well. We don't necessarily have to have people on standby and assist during court time. So I don't have any issues, Tracy, I know.
He's good at stuff and he's great.
All right, we have a motion and second. Is there any further discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right.
And Mayor, may I address the city?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to, two years has gone by really fast, and I want to thank members of City Council, especially Ms. Monique, for showing the confidence in me. I really truly believe our court is being run really well, and that's a credit to the municipal court staff. And I want to let y'all know what a treasure you have in Ms. Michelle, because the years I've been here, she is by far heads above everybody. She is amazing. And she has helped really clear the docket. In addition, we have very few trials. And the reason why we have very few trials is because the tickets that are being issued by the police department are very good tickets. Not many people contest their citations. And that's a credit to the police department, which, by the way, also assists the court in running on court day. And they do an amazing job serving as bailiffs and helping in any way possible. So it's a community effort, so to speak, when we have court. And credit goes to the city administration, court staff, and police department. So thank you all again for showing confidence in me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And unless you just want to stay for the evening, you're more than welcome to go.
I'm sorry you said that. I was really hoping that you'd let me fill some more Easter eggs, but
yes.
I guess I will leave.
It is my son's 30th birthday, so I need to go.
Thank you very much. Have
a great
evening.
You did find your phone, sir. Good.
All right, we will move back up to item 7B, update, discussion, and possible action on the Benzingelin Road reconstruction project.
Really?
City staff will be providing an update. Gilbert?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. They recently just finished the asphalt work over there on Phase 3. Did some concrete work today. We have a progress meeting with TxDOT tomorrow. We still have to go through the initial walkthrough, create a punch list, and those items have to be corrected before they move on to Phase 4. Also, they have they had a request of 85 rain days, and per Mark's approval, we're going to have 77 of them approved. So tomorrow we'll have that meeting with TxDOT, and Phase 3, the asphalt has gotten completed with the majority of the concrete. There's a few areas that need to be regraded as far as when they did the concrete, the grade's a little bit lower, so the yards are left a little higher. So they have to create a slope there. And then they laid a lot of grass down as well, but they're going to pull up some of that grass. It hasn't settled yet. They're going to cut it down, and then we're going to go re-inspect it again. So that's...
So I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer this question, but, and I know that early on it was touched on. So the project is supposed to be ADA approved and follow that. Is that correct?
Yeah, the standards when the plans are being put in place, ADA is considered or actually followed whenever the plans, the engineering plans are put together.
So where does that place it? Is it supposed to be accessible from the sidewalk?
Which area is supposed to be?
So if you're able to get onto the sidewalk, mm-hmm. is it the understanding that a wheelchair would be able to travel along the sidewalk comfortably or safely?
As far as my understanding is, yes. It's the Americans with Disability Act, so it protects, protects them on the right-of-ways to be able to get on and through the city side, and sidewalks.
You can reverse the whole sidewalk with no problem.
And that's why I was curious, because it was actually mentioned to me, and so I thought that we had talked early on, but I actually went and looked, and even though it's 4 feet, it does look rather small in order to pass. So I was just curious if it was actually tested or at least seen if somebody was actually able to pass and use it for its intent and purpose.
Yeah, whenever we go out and measure the quantities, that's to see how much concrete's been laid out there, we measure the sidewalks. Some areas are 4 feet, some are 5 feet. It just depends on what the plans call for.
Because I know specifically there was a question because there was a bank, like an embankment almost put where the curb was at Ben Zingelman and Alan Shepard. There was that step that they had on that part of the sidewalk.
On the corners, they should have the ramps to be
right,
able to get
do,
on.
Right, they do, but when you go that way, when you get up on the ramp and you go toward Springfield, there's that one area that has the step because somebody was concerned that somebody that had, that one of the elderly residents that was disabled wouldn't be able to move that area. So I was just curious if that was supposed to be something that was a standard, if 4 feet was the standard and that was what it was all the way down, and that the intent was that a person in a wheelchair would be able to easily move through that location.
All right.
So I was just curious if that was something that was also being standard as far as the 4 feet, or when Ford or whoever inspects it, if that was one of the things that they actually looked into and actually just say, oh, it's 4 feet, it should work. If it was just something that was actually tested to the point to make it feasible.
Yeah, the plans are put in place. When the plans are put in place, those are their the ADA specifications are followed. So whenever myself goes out there and then Mark goes on his weekly ones, his inspections and my daily inspections, we measure that it's 4 feet. So they should be able to follow too. All right.
And so when is their next expected
move? Excuse me?
When is their next expected move? I mean, are they still saying October that they're going to be done?
I haven't gotten any schedule on that, any updates. So as far as I know right now, it's still October. So
was that not part of what they were supposed to be doing?
It's supposed to be what they submitted is the 17th of October. They were to have phases 1 through 3 were scheduled for, like I said, the final walkthrough was going to be Monday, but they weren't finished. So it's tomorrow morning, actually, now. And so they cannot move on to phase 4 unless they pass the final phase inspection. So 1 through 3. three, and then they have to take care of all the punch list items before they can move on, and they are still expected to finish it by that date. Right now, Mark Hill was working on a change order to include some of those approved rain dates, because they did originally request like 85 approved rain dates, but we had to confirm those and verify them, so he scaled those down some. And then once those are approved, they'll get that number of, you know, rain dates. And then after that, we will charge them liquidated damages every day after that if they're not finished. So they are going to be paying because they won't be paid past the contract.
And the math just ran out a long time ago.
Right. They can't avoid paying liquidated damages at this point. There's no way they would finish it by the original time frame. So they go past October 17th, they'll just continue to be losing money.
And I had been over there too, and there was some days that were extremely sunny, and there was zero work happening. So
what is that?
So when that happens, do they call to say they're not doing it, or does no one know why they're not working?
No, they don't give any notifications. However, that's one of the, on my daily inspections, that's what I notate in my project diary. So my project diary is also submitted to TxDOT, so they know as well on the days that they're not working.
Okay, and so, but every time they don't work, we as the city actually notify someone they're not here so that it's marked or so that it is recorded?
Turn this log in every time we get audited by TxDOT. So they do it at certain points in the project. So like they did the 45%.
Well, we recently did the 45% audit.
This week. Yeah, so then he has to provide them those documents, and they look at, work days, non-work days, and all of that is taken into account.
Because clearly they are not following what was set forth before when we said, hey, this is your last ditch effort.
Well, part of what's in the diary is the days that they don't work. I usually go out there twice a day. If I can't go, I'll send my foreman. He'll notate it and give me the information. But also account for the most part, the weather and also how many employees are on site with each visit. So if I go in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, I notate 7 o'clock in the morning, there are no employees on site. I go back in the afternoon, 3:45, there's two employees on site. So I go ahead and have a notation of that. And then when we have our audits or any time that TxDOT or Mark requests the diary from me, then I actually have it written down. I usually type it up in Word so it's easier to transfer and then send it off. So.
But that's something that we initiate, correct?
That's required through TxDOT and an MPO
that's
project.
What I'm saying, but we're the ones keeping track of whether they show up to work or not, correct?
Yes, daily, yes.
Okay.
Right. Ford is responsible for the weeklies, and then TxDOT.
So when the weekly inspections come, though, Ford Engineering is meeting with you?
Yeah, every Friday we have.
Without?
Well, no, every Friday that we meet, it's 8:30 in the morning on Fridays. And if I'm unable to make it, I'll notify Mark, and he'll ask me if he needed anything, or he'll let me know. You know, he'll communicate with me on that. But the majority of the time, since we have it a set time, any other meetings or any other requests that I have for my schedule, I'll put it at another time. Anything between 8:30 and 9:30, you know, on Fridays, I'm booked. And if, say, for instance, next week we have a holiday, then we'll change that day, and it'll probably be on Thursday or Monday.
And the hydrant that was installed, that's operational and working properly?
Yes. Yes, they had installed it with fire hydrants. You can get, it's called a berry, so it's a 5-foot berry, 6-foot berry, and you want to have the base of it kind of close to the ground, but not too close, sticking up a little bit, maybe about a few inches. That way, the fire hydrant's built to, if it gets hit by a car, it's not like the movies. Well, not the ones we have. There are some like the movies that are wet barrels, but these are have a breakaway flange kit on it. So if a car were to hit it, what that flange kit's supposed to do is break off, and then you can just go replace the flange and the guts on it. This particular time they installed it, they got the berry too shallow. So what they did was we black bagged it, notified dispatch, and then the next day they came, put an extension on there, which is perfectly fine, and then it's operational as of now. So.
And it's been tested as far as that piece?
Yes, yeah, it's a brand new hydrant. So whenever they install it, they have to turn it on, make sure that it's functioning. The other thing with that fire hydrant is with these improvements that are being put in place, when they install a new hydrant or move an existing one, They're installing new ones when they move it. However, they're also installing what you call a controlling valve. So after the main line valve, there's a T. After that T, they install a valve, which is the controlling valve. So if any work needs to be done on that fire hydrant, or if that fire hydrant blows out or whatever, you turn off that one valve and you don't affect the residents. So if there's any work or if there were any leaks or anything to happen with that fire hydrant, which there haven't been, we'd be able to shut it off and work on it without affecting the residents. Part of that, too, is when they install it, they have to flush it out and check it. So it's a long flush isn't required. It just has to make sure that it works. So.
On the days that just nobody shows up and apparently doesn't call, how does that happen?
I just couldn't see you. I couldn't see you. I was.
I'm sorry. No, on the days when they just don't show, how is that accounted for? I mean, I know it's got to go against them, correct?
Well, we document it. That's about the most we can do. I can call them and tell them, hey, you know, are y'all planning on working today? Or there's one person or two people here. If it rained the day before, we had a gully washer. There might not, depending on where they're at in the project, if they're doing sidewalks and it rained that day and they're trying to form, they can't form the next day. Okay. They'll need time for it to dry out. So it's depending on what they're doing, what tasks they're on at that time will kind of dictate whether it's justified or not for them to be there.
Well, that's what, what I'm asking for, then, but there's an answer to it. They're called to answer as to why they didn't show up. So it's documented. Mm-hmm. Like it rained before, like you just said, they can't form because it rained or something like that. So is that counted as a rain day or what is that? How's that handled?
Well, it depends on what they're working on. So it would be a rain day if they can't work because the area is too wet.
Okay.
But I don't think that anybody's questioning if it's rainy and they can't work. I think that everybody understands that. It's when it's 90 degrees outside and it's sunny and we haven't had a drop of rain. So I think that's, maybe I'm wrong, but what day does that count as? Does that count as a rain day even if it's not raining or it's just a day?
It counts against them because...
That's what I wanted. Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Working on those days.
There we go.
So is...
But it's hard to say, you know, unfortunately you can't really say it counts against them. We document it and it's not excusable like the rain days.
Right.
But all it does is, you know, put them more behind schedule.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
It's just bold to ask.
It's unfortunate when they're not there and we call and say, you know, hey, why isn't anybody working? We can't make them come, I guess, so to speak. So all we can do is, you know, document that, we report it.
But that just pushes back the end date.
Right.
So they finally get into where they're paying us back.
Right, to the point where they'll be
working
anyway and losing money every day.
Okay.
Okay,
that's what I was going for. Yeah. As long as it's accountable and as long as it's documented, I'm good.
And at the end of that, Mike saying and what you said, we need to remember phase four was supposed to be started 27 September 2018, and it was supposed to be done 27 November 2018.
Yeah. You're right. I have no argument with that. That's why I'm trying to figure the days. The math has run out. So when this October thing comes, I got what you're correct on that, absolutely. So they're already behind, if that makes any sense to anybody.
Well, right.
They can't catch up.
They're not behind on the revised schedule.
Right.
Because the revised schedule says that the 16th of March, phase three was to be completed. Today is April the 11th.
Right.
So again, you know, that's more, you know, liquidated damages is really the best thing we can do. You know, I did speak to the surety company a couple of weeks ago, was hoping that I'd hear from them again, but I haven't. I've tried to reach out to them, no response, to see, you know, maybe they could put more pressure on them or have another solution. The best advice they could give me was you withhold payment. They've been blowing our phones up for about 2 weeks.
But that wasn't a needed suggestion because that's what you've already done.
They're emailing Tina, they're leaving messages from Mark, they're sending me. I actually had a voicemail from the owner today. Well, I said, oh, well, I'll call him back.
Well, money gets everybody's attention.
That's what we can do. Unfortunately, you know, you can only do that for so much time because, of course, they're claiming for the parts that's already completed. So
But technically, it's not completed until it's approved.
Right.
I mean, and it would have already been approved had they done what they were supposed to do.
Correct.
So, it's in their court. The reason that it's not approved is because they kept doing phases when we told them don't do those phases, and they chose to ignore.
So at least that gets their attention. If the project manager doesn't return Gilbert's calls, and if we don't return the finance person's calls, so now the owner is calling. So at least that gets some attention.
So what is the process that Ford uses for declination of rain days?
They
like
go,
if they're asking for 83 and he says no, 77, how does he determine yes or no?
There's a website, I believe. I don't know the exact website that he goes to. He checks the rain quantities and where, and then also the documentation that I have in the diary. So we compare.
Well, that notes. Actually makes me feel more comfortable, the fact that it's coming from your data, not some website that says it rained here, because we also know that it can rain across the street but be bone dry.
There's a standard where he has to get it from. So,
well, the other thing that annoys me, I think, is that we get your report. We know you're doing your job, and I don't know how to put it any better than this. We have to find some way to really get their attention. I mean, I guess it's the money trail. That's probably the most. And I know we're trying that. And if they're not smart enough to react to that, then. this is the most lack of respect I have ever seen of a business have for us. And I find it insulting, actually. Junior walked out in front of my truck the other day. I should have just went ahead but I didn't. Anyway, no, I mean, it's not funny. I'm serious, though, because, it's annoying to our citizens. You got to be cloned twice over for what you're trying to catch up with. And it appears to me, from what I'm saying, is they're chasing their own tail, and they're just getting more behind. I can't understand how a business person can logically be in business like this and not understand the math of how they're falling behind.
And I think, early on, this is exactly what everybody was concerned about, the fact that we have to use that bid. You have to use that person.
Thank you.
Because of all of the rules and regulations of, with a project and how it was funded, the fact that, we can't just say stop, just go away, because of the fact that the funding, and then it has to be, it has to start all over again. I was just curious about the days, because it seems, ridiculous that, they would ask for rain days, but yet dry days, they're not here. So clearly it doesn't matter whether it's dry or wet, they're not working anyway. So,
stay on top of it as the city manager, public works, Gilbert, and anybody else that's involved in this, and keep the due diligence, the pressure. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to do anything with them until the final thing is done. And as a contractor, they go out and start putting out for other jobs someplace else. I'm not thinking it's going to look very pretty. Get the reference from the city of Purdy, and that shows up either.
You're right.
We're doing everything we can.
I know, but you know what's so annoying is it's like a little kid, and he just, I don't know how to explain it to you. There's just no respect for us.
The way the state laws and everything.
I understand what you're saying, but he's hiding behind that.
And again, too, you can't do what's needed to be done in order to get the things done.
So as a city, what do we do now? We just sit here and. We're just sitting here waiting, biding our time until the other shoe falls, or?
At this point, the biggest thing is that we want them to finish phase three, do that punch list, and then we go back to TxDOT and revisit, going forward, do we want to continue and let them do 4 through 7, or do we want to pursue other, options, some of those options that we presented before. But I didn't want to.
I know where you're going. Yes.
But we will absolutely stop them if they try to do anything else other than our scope, because that's exactly what happened. That's why we're here now, is because they started something when we all told them don't. You told them. The council told them. Ford Engineering told them, and they blatantly did it.
I encourage citizens, if you see them, go past Fred Hayes right now.
They're before Fred Hayes. They're at the drainage ditch on Ben Zingelman going towards.
You see them walking past that, call the police.
Hey, if they come three houses down, you can believe they're going to get a call.
Yeah, and the other thing is, Suze, we have, they are notified. Whenever we've had these past meetings, we've already told them that we're going to do our 1 through 3 punch list and check. And TxDOT, Mr. Gross was there as well, and he witnessed Mark and myself telling them they're not to move forward with Phase 4 until they get approval from the city. So they've been told that on several occasions. I'll reiterate that tomorrow in our meeting. Just so you know. Yes. Right.
And I know they've got two other jobs because I've seen them in other locations. Lots of people working and not just two hanging out on Ben Zingelman and rolling a barrel around. I don't understand that, but so, yeah.
Right.
I personally say thank you.
Well, the thing is this, you know, let's make sure that what's done is A1. And if we decide to do something, at least those people are not going to suffer. They're done. They're completed. I can handle my bumps by my house, because I want it done correctly, and I don't want it stretched out. Because I've got a lot of, well, I'm old myself, but I've got a lot of older people that have right in my neighborhood that have trouble getting around, and it's going to be tough for them too.
But there's, you know, and to that point, there's also, that's a main thoroughfare anyway for pedestrians and traffic.
Right.
I mean, right now, regardless of the condition of it, people are using it to bypass the highways anyway, just like they were before.
Yep.
Regardless of what it says about no through traffic, I mean, just like anything else, the signs are completely being disregarded. But there's children going to school, walking. With all of that garbage there too, so.
Well, I just want it to be safe, and I want it to be, what's done is to be completed. Is that redundant to say done completely?
No, you want it done completely as per what the contract states are supposed to be.
Exactly. And nothing else. And if we decide to do something, that's done, and we're good there. Okay.
All right.
Gilbert, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thanks, Gilbert. All right, item 7C, update, discussion, and possible action on the City of Kirby's April 14th, 2019 Easter egg hunt.
All we need is a little furry rabbit to come in and put them out. We got enough eggs back there to hold off a small army if we got an egg fight.
So that will, it's Sunday, April 14th from 3 to 4:30. Ages 12 and under at Friendship Park. It is free admission. There will be, is it going to be zoned for different age groups?
Yes,
so it will be zoned in different age groups.
Disability.
So, yes.
So we have three stages. There will be two age limits and then disability.
Great. So bring the kids, the Easter
bunny. Oh, really? I get to take my picture again?
You have to bring your own camera or phone to take your photo.
Cool.
All right, so that's Sunday, April 14th, 3 to 4:30 p.m.
And you got the chief size, right? That would be the biggest Easter bunny ever pulled to fix this earth. He didn't hear that, did he? I don't know.
All right, we already did 7D, so we will skip that and move to 7E, discussion and possible action to ratify the approval of an Eagle Scout project in Friendship Park. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Yes. First, let me say good evening and thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. I am with Troop 1412, and I'm actually here to inform you that the Eagle Scout project of refurbishing and or replacing any wood boards of the benches has been completed this past weekend. I have included before and after photos of the said benches, and I hope everything is to the satisfaction of the council, and thank you for allowing me to do this project and to give back to the community.
Oh, you did good. I got a picnic table in the house, in the patio. You want to come by? You did a good job, son. You did. Excellent job.
Thank you. Also, there was one of the tables that needed to be welded. That has been welded with the assistance of my scoutmaster.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You are welcome.
And just some, you know, just some background information just for the citizens. You know, any improvements to the city-owned property need council's official approval. So that's why we're asking you to ratify that approval that staff did give him. In the meantime, due to time restraints, he was going to age out before this meeting, mm-hmm. So we wanted to have the opportunity to complete the project, and it was a nice benefit to the city.
Oh, yes.
Appreciate that.
Mayor, make a motion we ratify the approval of the Eagle Scout project in Fisher Park.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to ratify the approval of an Eagle Scout of the Eagle Scout project in Friendship Park. Is there any discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you very much. And good luck with your. Did you get it or did you pass or?
Not yet.
You're still working.
To complete. This was part of the process, so he's supposed to meet with Morris next.
When do you have your when do you have your board?
About the 20th.
That's the big deal. That's when they.
So
do
is
the
this
ceremony.
The last project you had to finish or?
Yes.
Very good. Well, good luck with that. Yes. Oh, this is true. Well, good luck. Thank you very much. Item 7F, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2019-856, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018 and 2019. I will turn this over to Tina.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Welcome back.
This is the second amendment for the general fund and the water fund. So as you can see, we increased the revenue for the general fund, and it was all the three things that we increased were due to actual what we collected, and also the interest rate is higher now prior to when I amended when I did the official budget. So I increased the revenue by $6,089, and you'll see those three line items. The expenditures were increased by $88,250, and they were to the city admin. It is to training and travel by $3,000 to cover additional training and certification for administration staff. So, like Michelle is one of them, so and other administration staff. Police department, we increased the radio maintenance by $1,500, and that is due to a new battery unit and power source for the radio system at dispatch. Municipal court, we increased the overtime by $1,000, and we took it $1,000 away from trial expense, so that was kind of a wash. Court supplies, we increased that by $250 because we need additional supplies. So that was the only added to that department. Animal services, we increased that by $6,000 to building maintenance, and that's for painting and repairs to the painting to the office in the building, inside the building, and repairs to the existing kennels and gates, as well as removing and replacement of deteriorated debt system. Okay. On the parks, there's quite a bit. A lot of it is going to be washed. So we've decreased operational supplies by 800. We increased uniform by 400. As you noticed, Gilbert had added things to the uniforms, like the nice public works shirt that they have now, the fluorescent orange shirt, the cap, the beanie. So we kind of divided that with all three departments. So you're going to see an increase in uniforms because of that. Small tools were decreased by $200. Equipment maintenance was increased by $3,800, and it's due to their equipment that they have currently that are breaking down and just more wear and tear. So they're having to do a lot of repairs. Vehicle maintenance is decreased by $200. Part maintenance is decreased by $3,000. And pool maintenance has been increased by $23,000. And for that, it's because of the electrical inspection pump for the baby pool, replacement of 2 5-8 horsepower motors to 1 10 horsepower pump. We also for replumbing the suction side, and then the bond of the pool light, the ladders, the motors, the handrails, and the guardrail, and the fill line. So that was three different amounts for those three things, but overall total, it was an increase of $23,000. Streets, the uniforms were increased by $500. So we decreased building maintenance and equipment maintenance by $250 each, so that washed that out. General operations, we increased it by $4,500 to get another 20-foot storage container and shelving. For the administration storage, because we are completely out of room and storage, so we definitely need that. Legal fees were increased by $20,000 for additional legal issues. Engineer was increased by $30,000 for street assessment. That was approved by the last meeting by council. So all in all, that is $88,250. So net effect with the increase of revenue, taking that away from the general, from the increase of expense, it comes out to $82,161. The water fund, the interest were the only thing that I changed on the revenue, and that's $15,000. Again, because the interest rate was higher than when I did the approval of the budget at the time. The expenditures, there is everything is a wash. So, like we decreased operational supplies by $400. We increased the uniform by $700. We decreased sand and concrete chart of account, vehicle maintenance, and the only thing that we did was add $1,000 for the water line maintenance, because the $1,000 that we did not have to use for Diadem and Happiness Alley drainage, we decreased that by $1,000 to cover that. So really the only net increase of revenues would be the net effect is the $15,000 on the revenue.
Amending the budget for fiscal year 2018-2019.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce to accept ordinance number O-2019-856, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018-2019, seconded by Councilmember Grant. Is there any discussion? any further discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2019-856, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018-2019, passes for the first reading. Thank you, Tina and staff. Item 7G. Discussion and possible action on appointing regular members and alternate members to the Buildings and Standard Commission.
We do not have any applications, but if anyone wants to pick them up, we have some out in the lobby.
Perfect. Do they have enough people to meet?
They currently do. They need five, so we have three to make a quorum.
Yeah, because that lady, she went dual commit, or that. So I mean the third one.
So I mean they could have a meeting to address certain issues.
Yes.
That have been brought up recently. All right. And if anybody in the audience wants to be appointed to the Buildings and Standards, as the city manager mentioned, those applications are out in the lobby, so please feel free to pick one up and submit it. This will, the items will be on our agenda until we're able to fill those commissions and boards and committees. All right, item 7H, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Beautification Recycle Committee. And they are an active committee, so I know that they are working diligently. However, they can always use more volunteers and yes. All right. Item 7I, discussion and possible action on appointing a member or members to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. Norma? Nope. Any from the city staff? All right. We'll move on that one. If anybody's interested on serving on that board, you can contact the center for an application and submit it to Ms. Norma and they'll fix you right up. Item 7J, discussion and possible action on termination of interlocal agreement and amendment to the ground lease with Bexar County for Animal Services Facility. Our attorney, Mark Schnall, is here, so I will look to him for
you're on, sir.
Guidance on this.
Mayor, I can give a brief report as to the status during an open session. It would be my recommendation after I give that report that the council consider adjourning the open session and instead opening a executive session so that we can discuss the potential business terms and the members of the council can get opinions in the way of legal advice from the city attorney. The brief report that I can make at this time is that after the council meeting 2 weeks ago, I did present, did prepare and present to the assistant district attorney representing the county in this matter a revised amendment to the ground lease, as well as a revised termination of the interlocal agreement in accordance with the instructions that the city manager and I received and the direction that we received. On Monday, that was done on Friday, March 29th. On Monday, April 1st, I received a response with a different proposal from the assistant county attorney, and that is what I believe has been provided at least to the mayor, if not to the entire council. And I wanted to have the council have an opportunity to discuss that in detail as part of a closed session under Section 551.072 of the Texas Government Code, which concerns deliberations about the lease of real property. And under Section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code, which is consultation with attorney.
All right, so at this time, I will close the regular meeting at 8:05, and pursuant to Section 551.071, consultation with attorney, and 551.072, deliberation for the lease of real property, we will convene into executive session. I will reopen the regular meeting at 8:56. There was no action taken in executive session. Item 7J, discussion and possible action on termination of interlocal agreement and an amendment to ground lease with Bexar County for Animal Services Facility. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move to entertain into the termination of the interlocal agreement with Bexar County in the form presented to the City Council effective April the 15th, 2019, provided that, one, Bexar County Commissioners Court take action to approve the termination of the interlocal agreement effective April the 15th, 2019 by action taken on or before April the 30th, 2019. Two, the ground lease between the City of Kirby and Bexar County be amended to provide for a legal description prepared by Sherwood Surveying at the expense of Bexar County using the drawing presented to the City on April the 11th, 2019. And on acceptable and to be acceptable to Monique Vernon, City Manager of the City of Kirby.
One correction, the date that drawing was presented on April 1st, not April
11th. Okay, we have two of them, okay. April the 1st. Tracy, I have this. You're welcome.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Grant. Is there any further discussion? Do you want to say anything? You're good? All right. Will Tracy please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Oh, yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, item 8A, request by Mayor and Council members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Grant.
I would like to, this neighborhood news, I think you've already asked, but I'd like to make sure that's placed on the next agenda for discussion. We did. Okay. What? I missed something there. What else is new?
Unless, I mean, it, obviously, if she can be here.
But we invited her to the meeting, but it was next meeting, so it was a mix-up in dates. Okay. We'll be on the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Well, then that works. And, folks, we have put something to bed that's been going on, and I can tell you it's the best thing we've done. I can say that much. Thank you all for coming.
Councilmember Wilson?
Chief, I want to let you know that my practice in reading your writing gave me the ability to read the lawyers. And then I have just a couple of questions. I would like to have code compliance come next council on the report of the complaints that we've been having, where she can answer the questions. And then I went to the senior center meeting last week, and I know we've lost a lot of people, but they're really looking for volunteers, and one of the things that they're really looking for are help with the food banks that comes once a month on a Thursday, and that's to help carry the food to the cars, and they're really, really needing some people to help with that. Some of their regular volunteers are leaving for the summer, going out of town and stuff, so if we can find some volunteers to help them in that point. And then I kind of have just a question. If you're coming into Kirby off of Springfield and Ben Zingelman, where they built up the property, I noticed that when it was raining, the water was just draining off the property onto the streets. And are they not required to have the water retention corners where they're, it's on the right, if you're going out of Kirby, it's on the right-hand side. And then
Is it in any of our ordinances that on that whole strip that's being built that they have to put some sort of a privacy fence up to protect them from the homeowners? I mean, I just wouldn't like to have my house there and all of a sudden businesses come up with the noise that they're going to be making and not have some type of a...
Commercial, like a commercial fence.
Right, because right. Because they're going to, with those 18-wheelers all the time, I wouldn't want to live in that area. And I guess that's it.
I kind of asked for this years ago, and we've never done anything about it, but it was brought to my attention again. And tonight it was brought to my attention outside. There are so many times that we sit here and discuss some money problems, or we vote on something that pertains to money, but the citizens don't know what the devil we're doing. None whatsoever. And I think they should be able to have at least a voice, either their opinion that they like what we're doing, or give us a reason why maybe we should not do it or change it or something. I just think we need to open our meeting up so our citizens have a little bit more input in what is going on in the city. I know we all sit here and we got things in our packet. It comes up, yes, 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 yes. Well, what did y'all just yes on? They don't know what's going on. So I just think we need to open it up a little bit more for the citizens. And I think that because you heard a lot of them tonight, they've voiced their opinions, and they've gotten no feedback whatsoever. So they come back again. And they're going to keep coming back until we get plumb tired of it and do something about it ourselves. That's one thing. And the other thing, I guess maybe I ought to be on a closed session, or maybe I need to sit down with the city manager and discuss it with her and let her work on it. But we've got some internal problems in one of our commissions or boards that we need to correct, because things aren't getting done whatsoever. And some of the people that voiced their opinion tonight pertains to that department. Why hasn't nothing been done? That's all.
Thank you. Councilmember Apodaca?
Mr. Pittman and Mr. Martin, I appreciate you guys coming back every meeting. And I'm really sorry to hear that your wife couldn't even walk to the mailbox without him being there. And that kind of stuck a nerve. So we're listening.
Councilmember Pierce?
Nothing at this time. Thank everybody for coming out.
Okay. A couple of the items have that I had have been mentioned, but I will mention them again. We do have an Easter egg hunt on Sunday. So please, if you have little ones, or even if you don't have little ones and you just want to come out, please, from 3 to 4:30 on Sunday. Again, volunteers are needed for the senior center, not only for that. There's, you know, that's another thing that we always talk about, communication. The senior center, although it's a senior center, it's open to everyone. You don't have to, and that's one of the things we discussed earlier in previous meetings, you don't have to be a senior to enjoy the activities there. You don't have to be a senior to eat there. So those are things. So I would encourage anyone to, you know, get involved with all the programs that, you know, Kirby has to offer. But the only way that, you know, unfortunately, it's difficult to disseminate information to the public. Either, you know, it's not the right form, it's not the right vessel. People don't really want to find out themselves. They want it, you know, given to them so that they don't have to research. And so that's where I think it makes it a little difficult trying to figure out what, you know, what kind of information or how that vessel works best with everyone. So, but anyway, just please pass on the word that volunteers aren't only needed for the senior center. Pretty much the entire city, you know, is based on volunteerism, you know, with every commission and board. And so, but to Councilmember Lehman's point, if you're wanting to serve on a board and you're actually occupying a space on the board, then you should want to fulfill your commitment to that board. So you should be a working committee. So if there is issues where, you know, people can't meet, I think that as a city council, we need to address those issues. However, if we're addressing those issues and we choose to make decisions, then it falls on the ownership of us to make sure that all of those processes are carried out. That is, and I believe that's where Jerry was talking about. That's why I'd asked our city manager about buildings and standards. Those are, unfortunately, many of the items or several of the items that were talked about today, that's really not a level of area or expertise that we're able to act upon. That actually is, there's laws and rules and stuff, and none of us, I believe, are capable of carrying those out. So we're depending on buildings and standards, our police department, our city staff, to make those decisions and do what's applicable by law so that we're not faced with violating anyone's civil rights, violating any statute, those kinds of things. The other, I would, on the other spectrum though, as Mr. Pittman mentioned, as far as the interaction with council back and forth, unfortunately, this is the only venue, and it has to be on the agenda, that we can talk back and forth. So we can talk individually to our residents, but if more than four people are gathered on this council, then we have created a quorum. So it makes it difficult for everyone to at least hear what someone's saying without violating that statute. So I don't know without, I don't know if our city manager can work with our attorney to find an agenda item where, in fact, we can talk about specific things without talking about specific things, just so that we can share that information. I don't even know if it's possible. But I do think that it's a, you know, Mr. Pittman mentioned a town hall meeting. I would presume that town hall meetings are too broad, because I know it's specific that our attorney has told us that it has to be a very specific item so that the public knows exactly what's going to be talked about. To also to Councilman Lehman's point about the residents knowing what's happening and what we're voting on, I would ask that the city staff somewhere, again, here's this communication, maybe the newsletter, if we go with that, is a perfect opportunity, is lay out and explain the procedures that residents can take in order to acquire that information prior to the meeting. Those are things, you know, there's freedom of information. There's all kinds of different things that residents and people can take in order to acquire that information. So also DART, if we can, Chief, if we can, we talked at the last meeting. After the meeting, we talked about that to see where that is at, and maybe that is something. And if we're going to do that, then it's something that we need to bring forward. And if not, we just need to say, you know what, that's not for us. The street sweeping that Mr. Pittman, there's also a, the city is divided into quadrants by city staff. So street sweeping does happen every Monday in certain areas. And so if we can...
schedule's on the website.
Correct, yes, but...
And we also update the public notice monthly.
Yes.
So they know where we are if there's a change.
Right, and I know that it's there because I share it on my Facebook page too. But again, if somebody's not again, if they're not on the computer, it makes it difficult. And not everybody in our city, even though that's, you know, a computer age, not everybody in our city is in a computer. So, again, I think the newsletter, if we can go with that, again, we can't make them read it, but at least we can try to attempt to get it there. Let me see. I really think that's, we just need to figure out a way to disseminate information. So I'm hopeful that this newsletter may be the option. Similar to what Councilmember Abadaka said, you can come up here and speak. I will never get tired of residents taking an interest in their city, ever. That is something that from day one that I've served on council in whatever capacity it was, I have never not wanted somebody to come up here, whether good or bad, because that means that citizens are engaged. So unfortunately, it's not always the outcome or the reason that we want to see people up here, because we live here too. We're sitting on a council, but we're also residents. So I do empathize with pretty much everything that somebody has said at least once in my lifetime living in Kirby. So thank you for being, you know, for choosing Kirby to live and continuing to stay here. And I'm confident that we all working together, that we can, you know, come to a compromise and figure out how to get back to where we all want to be. So thank you. Adjourned.